Good morning, church family in Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture is a parable, and like all the parables that Jesus told us, it was about the kingdom of God. And that in it, there's much symbolism. Now, it's easy to see that the bridegroom was Jesus Christ and his coming. And the 10 virgins, why, they are the church. There's people who have come into the church. Now, there was 10 wise people in that church and 10 foolish people in that church. And the 10 wise ones had brought oil. And the oil symbolizes a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ through prayer and reading of the scripture. The 10 foolish didn't take time to do that. They had something else to do. So when it came time for God to come, for Jesus Christ to come, they were unprepared. Now, I was asked a question before the service about this. He said, wouldn't the Christian thing to do was to share that oil? But you can't share relationship. That's a personal thing. So listen to your own personal message as I read the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The 10 wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. There's a true story that comes from the sinking of the Titanic. A frightened woman found her place in the lifeboat that was about to be lowered into the raging cold waters of the North Atlantic. She suddenly thought that she needed something that she had left in her room. So she asked permission to return to the stateroom before they cast off, and she was granted 3 minutes, or they would leave without her if she wasn't back. So she ran across the deck that was already slanted on a dangerous angle. She raced through the casino with all the money that had rolled to one side, said ankle deep. She came to her stateroom and quickly pushed aside her diamond rings, her expensive bracelets, the money, all that stuff. And she reached up onto a shelf and she grabbed 3 oranges. Now that seems to be incredible, because 30 minutes early she would not have traded even the smallest of her diamonds for a whole crate of oranges. But death had boarded the Titanic, and one blast from his awful breath had transformed all values and turned everything upside down. Instantaneously, priceless things have become worthless, and worthless things have become very valuable. And at that moment, she preferred 3 small oranges to a crate of diamonds. There are events in life which have power to transform the way that we look and perceive this world that we live in. Jesus' parable about the 10 virgins offers one of these types of events. For the parable is about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus doesn't come right out and say this. Rather, he lets the story describe it for him, which he was such a master at doing. The woman on the sinking Titanic understood in the light of her current circumstances that she must make preparations to be in that lifeboat. Diamonds would not suffice, only the precious resources of oranges to give sustenance, food, even the liquid. Likewise, in this world where Christ may return at any moment, we just don't know. The parable warns that we must be ready. Weddings are one of those kinds of events where we need to be ready. And every time I have a wedding, I always admonish the couple to be there the night of the rehearsal early. And if they've got friends who are always 15 minutes late, give them a false time earlier so they'll be there on time. I don't like standing around and waiting on that. But on the day of the wedding, I tell them, if you can, come dressed, come early, come prepared. Sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't. Jesus' parable about a wedding is told not from the vantage point of the bride and groom, but of the 10 young maidens who had been invited to this very happy occasion. Five of them were foolish, and five of them turned out to be wise. Now, what was the measure of this wisdom? It was their readiness to be part of the event that was about to take place. All of these young women had oil in their lamps, but five had an additional supply. This is, of course, foreign to our concepts of weddings today. Weddings in our society are announced for a specific time, 3 o'clock, November the 5th, and people are there. Well, most people, there's always the straggler, so I always wait 5 minutes past the time to get those who are running just a little late. If things are late in getting started, those invited guests begin to fidget. But in the first century Palestine, a wedding could happen within a time frame of several days. The uncertainty was considered a part of the excitement of the wedding. When's it going to happen? Will we be ready? When will the announcement come? And the bridegroom usually hoped to catch some of the bridal party napping. But fairness required that some announcement would be made, so just before the big event, a messenger was sent through the streets announcing, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The alert ones in the wedding party would respond, and those who were asleep or had gone off somewhere would be left out of the wedding. In Jesus' parable, the cry came at midnight. This was often the case. Most bridegrooms chose later at night. The sleeping attendants were awakened. It was then that they realized that they did not have enough oil in their lamps. Panicked, they attempted to borrow some from the other bridesmaids. But they responded, "If we give you our oil, there won't be enough for us. Hurry out to the store or the dealer where you get oil and purchase some." So the five foolish maidens hurried out, but by the time they returned, the door had already been closed and locked. They knocked on the door and pleaded to be a part of the festivities, but the groom said, "If you belonged at this event, you would already be present." Jesus concluded, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the hour nor the day," talking about his second coming. So what this parable is suggesting to us, I'd like to make a few suggestions. First, it says, saying that some things in life cannot be borrowed. You and I cannot live on someone else's oil. We can help one another in many ways, but just up to a point, because ultimately we are on our own. This is especially true when it comes to our faith. The road of the religious pilgrimage is a narrow one and can only be walked two at a time, you with God. Your parents cannot walk it for you. Husbands and wives can depend on one another, but they cannot make someone have faith or believe in Christ. Faith is the most intensely personal experience that we will ever have in this life. Others can help us towards it. They can encourage us. They can pray for us. They can bring us up the way that we should go, teaching us good values and scripture. But in the end, we must embrace it ourselves. It's a decision each and every one of us have to make on our own. No one can do that for us. The five foolish maidens in this story were foolish because they thought that they could rely upon the resources of others to get them through. What they discovered was that there's some things in life that just cannot be borrowed. Secondly, I think that the parable suggests that there are some things that cannot be put off until the last minute. I don't know if our church insurance plan covers earthquakes. Maybe we need to check on it. But earthquake insurance is not something that you can put off at the last moment. When you feel the rattling of the building, you can't call, "Hey, get me on life and earthquake insurance now." In the 20 seconds that it takes to do tremendous damage, we don't have time to call a meeting of session and appoint a team and say, research this, because the earthquake is already here. A midterm exam is something that you can't put off. Many people do, but we know the results of that. On the morning of the exam is not the time to all of a sudden try to study and to cram 2 months of knowledge to be able to take that test. When it comes to these kind of decisions in our business homes, we all understand. As businessmen and women, and as moms and dads, we all understand that there's some things that simply cannot be put off till another time. Yet it's amazing to me how so many of us fail to grasp the concept when it comes to life's biggest decisions. How many couples have I seen over the years that I do the wedding for them, pronounce them husband and wife, do it in the church, and then I don't see them again? Maybe they get a marital problem and they come running back, panicked, wanting help, desperate. My friends, you cannot make withdrawals unless you have first made some deposits. There's some things that cannot be put off until the last minute. There was a family who wanted their pastor to counsel their daughter on a decision she was making that they felt was just wrong. Wrong decision for her. The pastor visited with the daughter for about a half hour in his office and did his best he could to point out the issues. Yet she still chose to go contrary to her parents' decision. After the mother said to the pastor, she was quite disappointed in the pastor. And the pastor said, well, she said first, I thought of all people, you would be able to get this turned around and point her in the right direction and convince her. And he thought to himself, how can you expect me to accomplish in 30 minutes what you have not accomplished in 30 years? Why is it that we so often put life's important decisions off until the last moment? Jesus said, because of our foolishness. It is the foolish person who cannot see down the long road. It's not that the foolish maidens lacked any desire. They wanted to be at the wedding party. They genuinely wanted to go and participate in the celebration and the festivities and the food, the wine. It's just that they gave it insufficient forethought. All too often we believe that heaven and our faith and church can wait. Yet in the wise person who does not put off the matter of eternity until the end. Third and lastly, the parable suggests to us that if we are not prepared, we miss great opportunities. The issue here is one of readiness when Christ returns. When God holds his grand celebration, will we be ready? Now, I'll be the first one to admit that this theme has been abused over the years. People setting dates for the end of Christ and coming, and then he doesn't come, and people get disillusioned. Say, yeah, see, you can't believe the church, can't believe Jesus or God. But there's a genuine element to this theology, and we need to understand that there's an element of judgment also in this parable. When the foolish maidens arrived at the party, the door was shut. When I read these words, I can't help but think of Noah. What happened? Noah preached to the people. He told them what was coming. He built the ark, got the animals. The rains came, closed the doors, and then people started coming trying to get in at the last minute. When the great flood came, there were many who pounded on the door and begged to be let in, but the scripture says the door was shut. These are metaphors for God's judgment. Now, this doesn't mean someone in later in life can't accept Jesus even right before they die, because they can, but you can't count on that. You know, Charles Colson repented of his role in the infamous Watergate affair. Now, he's involved in full-time Christian work, has authored books, and working as an advocate for prison reform. His conversion is a true, genuine one. Bill Clinton, for some, was a great president. But even those who support him cannot deny that in his moment, he disgraced his office. It has been said by many, both detractors and supporters, that he is still in search of a legacy. The tragedy will always be that when his great opportunity in history came, he was not prepared and he missed it. There's a tragedy in missed opportunities. Jesus is telling us in this simple parable about the tragedy of the unprepared life. Jesus said that there are times to be prepared, for no man or woman knows the hour. My friend, the best way to get ready for tomorrow is to be ready today, not try to get ready tomorrow. A time will come when no further preparation is prepared, and Jesus will be in the sky. A pastor visited someone in his congregation who was about to undergo surgery, and when he visited him, he said, "Pastor, if everything turns out all right, that's okay. And if everything does not turn out right, that's okay also." He was speaking in the language of the five wise maidens. He was prepared to live. He was prepared to die. All the maidens slumbered and slept, but at midnight there was a cry. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come and meet him." These maidens were prepared. Jesus called wise. Can Jesus call you and me wise? May God bless you. Amen.